presence and your great grace you manifest in this hour, showing us very visibly, Lord, that none can deny the power to predestinate your word has been demonstrated to us, Lord, and we know the perfect faith which comes from that demonstration. And we pray, Lord, that we shall give way to that and to nothing else, Lord, and let nothing come between us and that word, knowing that as we stand with that word, we shall someday face you and crown you King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when you become visible in the reincarnation, and we want to have a part of that. And we believe, Lord, by virtue of the fact that we are here as your disciples, that has been guaranteed to us. We do not see any difference, Lord, between Matthew 12, when you were there in the flesh and made the promise to your disciples, and then saw that they certainly came to that end to which they were predestinated. Neither can we, Lord, in this end time miss that end. That is the truth. We know it to be the truth. May it consume us, Lord, so that nothing else be real to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're continuing tonight on number 23 of the spoken word is original seed. And of course we realize in the last 22 messages we've been bringing on this particular sermon, that Brother Branham has continually emphasized the fact that the spoken word is of God. That's the original spoken word, not something that somebody has doctored or meddled with, but the actual original spoken word of God is the true original seed from which all things have sprung, having brought forth, based on foreknowledge, coming into a mature harvest that is predestinated according to what God placed in his seed words. And of course, he by his own power has brought this to pass and is bringing it to pass until there's a complete consummation of what has been set forth in the record of the scripture as we know it to this particular hour. Now, it's also seen in these 22 messages that if one word of God is changed and believed in that changed form, there is no way the believer will garner the predestinated harvest of the true, original, unchanged word of God. Now, this, of course, is something that people simply do not want to accept. Now, they may accept it, and I think they pretty well do accept it, in the sense of, well, that's logical. But to really believe it, that they positively are outside of the kingdom of God, not a part of it, and could well be predestinated to miss even the white throne privilege of coming into eternal life, they're very hard to convince them because they want loopholes. They don't want to confess to a reality. We've had that here, and I don't want to belabor the point, but you know that. There are those who say, well, it's not live, die, sink, or swim. There's a possibility that we could somehow, you know, work our own little program. That's impossible. The point is, if you do not know the Word of God, and you fall short, you hate to think it, but that's your tough luck. You know, people are not convinced of sovereignty. And I don't want to be hard on people, because I'm part of the people. But you have to come to the point, sometime in your life, where you realize you have to face that reality. Now, it must never be forgotten, as we've seen in these 22 messages, that the predestinated word has a predestinated people. Because actually, people is what the Bible is all about. It's not so much about God. He remains a tremendous mystery. But how God deals with us and what he has for us should not be a mystery. Should be exceedingly clear. And I think it is, of course, in this last day, as Brother Branham brought us the truth. Now, this little bride who has the truth will be one with the Word. So that the believer actually is, through the power of God, the manifested living Word. Now, that has to be true, because you are dealing with the predestinated people, and this Word here has everything to do with them. So really, you have the people and the Word is one, just the same as you have God and the Word is one. That's why Brother Branham spoke on that invisible union. And that's why Jesus said, with that deal, I'm the Father, you and me, and I and you. So there has to be, with no mistake made about it, the Word, the Spirit, and the believer in complete union. And it cannot be otherwise. Now, today it's abundantly clear that the world is in a Sodom condition and ready for burning. However, there'll be a little bride of the Word that will be one with the unchanged Word. Now, you notice that we're very careful here. There'll be a bride that is one with the unchanged Word. Then, of course, there'll be those then who are one with the changed Word. And those of a further changed Word, or whichever way it goes. Or you can sink into sheer 100% idolatry, which would be nothing but serpent seed. Because that's the truth of it. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight believers were one with the Word and the Spirit, so there'll be a little tiny bride of the same. And all other believers will be one with their hybridized Word, which at the present time is set forth in two mainstream denominational teachings under Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, who represent the major mainstream denominations, number one and number two, the Pentecostals. William Branham sowed the true Word. So you have three sowings that are recognized. And, of course, Billy Graham sowed the denominational dogma. Robert sowed the Pentecostal seed. The truth was sown by Brother Branham. So the error has been sown, no doubt about it, but only the Word will produce sons of God. And the bride will be raptured, and all others will die through the Antichrist system. That would be, of course, your foolish virgin. And then the others will all be destroyed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnated, in the book of Revelation chapter 19. Now, before we start reading, we just want to remember that Brother Branham actually is fulfilled here in the book of Acts, the third chapter. Now, we want to look at that just a second and bring ourselves up to date on Brother Branham's ministry. And it says in the 19th verse, and of course, it's the middle of the verse 19 we want to look at. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know here that Israel rejected Christ. And according to their own statement, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, they took full responsibility for the act and for the consequences thereof. Now, they are held to that particular covenant they cut with God by blood, and there's no way they're going to get out of it. You saw some of what they went through under Hitler, Stalin, and that's only a part of what they'll come through, because those 200,000 evil spirits at the River Euphrates have not been retied. They haven't been tied down again and changed. Now, all right, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, that is a wind blowing, as it were, the Spirit of God moving, and Brother Branham put that down there as the revival, the great healing revival, of which there cannot be a true healing revival unless a genuine fresh message follows it, because God does not vindicate the same tired old message. It's run its course. Now, look what it says. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed or preached unto you. Now, there you'll notice that Jesus Christ was only preached to some people, but this cannot stand concerning the Jews, because Messiah was preached for hundreds and hundreds of years, but the Messiah himself was not preached. He was indicated by John, and he stood right there, and they heard him and crucified him. So when you look at this scripture, you understand that this is to the Gentiles. It has to be. Now, also, you'll notice whom the heavens must retain. So it's the same one that was Messiah, same one is being retained as mediator, intercessor, still Messiah, and he's got to stay there. See? Until what? The restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I don't care how you stretch that and how you want to put a meaning to it. It tells you simply one thing. The word must be restored. Because that's what comes to the prophets. Now, the great healing ministry that Brother Branham had here, the times of refreshing from the face of the Lord, presence of the Lord, actually categorizes or parallels, found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout. And of course, that's the message. Now, this ministry here of the great healing movement, thus saith the Lord, is the vindication of the prophet of chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy. Now notice, in spite of the fact of a message which is the word of God re-sown, the more or the former rain, the first teaching is re-sown, and it's only after that that Jesus Christ can actually come to the position where the bride can be caught up with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you notice in verse 22, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he said unto you. It'll come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Now notice, he does not go back to Moses. The only prophet he mentions is a man that is not a word prophet, but a genuine prophet, as far as his ability to be vindicated is concerned, and his ability thereby to prove that he has the correct understanding of the Word of God and is the judge of that hour. So what you see here is not a prophet like Moses. You don't see a prophet like the Apostle Paul. You don't see that. You see a man exactly like Samuel, and you will notice that Brother Branham always quoted Samuel. He said, when did I take a mule or an ass from you? When did I take any money? When was he ever wrong in what I said? Show me one time I made a mistake. See, the vindication. Now, so what I'm trying to get you to is this. We have a vindicated message, the sowing of the true word. Now, right after that, the great ministry that Brother Branham had to vindicate that he was that prophet, you will notice at the same time Billy Graham was in the land and Oral Roberts was in the land, and shortly after the vindication, Billy Graham began to go downhill, Oral Roberts began to go downhill, and Brother Branham began to go downhill. There wasn't any necessity for Brother Branham to be constantly vindicated once he was vindicated. He himself said, listen, I can go to Africa, have thus saith the Lord one time, and 30,000 people come in. I can come to America and have to have 30,000 times. He didn't say this, but I'm saying it for him. I can have 30,000 vindications and maybe one person come in. So he's telling you here, as we saw last Sunday, that what you're looking at in his ministry as he explained it, where it was not in the scope that it used to be, in that peculiar miracle, thus saith the Lord ministry, was because he had entered into the sowing season, and when you sow a seed, you have to have a rainfall on it in order to bring it forth in maturity. That's why you get the scripture where the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And that's why Brother Branham in his vision, when he was in the cave, and he looked up, the wind blew the Bible open, over to Hebrews 6, and there he saw the seeds being sown, one by the Son of Man, and one by the son of perdition. And so he explains to us that the seed has to bear its own kind of fruit. And there's no way that the bride, there can be a bride, nor can there be the Son of God come forth in human flesh again. And you know, when you look at the Son of God, knowing he was the Son of God, you know that God indwelt him. So you're looking not just at the fact of the Holy Spirit having a great ministry, but you're looking right at the fact where God is going to reincarnate himself. As Brother Branham said, when the Spirit in the midst of it becomes incarnate to us, we're crowned King to King and Lord of Lords. Now you know there's only one body that he would go to, and that is that Lamb that was on the mercy seat, or behind him on the mercy seat, whichever position you want to put it. And then he climbed upon the Father's throne. So all right, Brother Branham is now explaining then the point of where he is in his ministry, so that people truly understand that as Oral had a job and Billy Graham had a job, he also had a job to do, and it has to do with the sowing of seed preparatory for the rain to fall upon it. Now, there's two kinds of rain. There's the former rain, and there's the latter rain. Now, if you listen, Brother Branham, I'm sure it made mention way back about 1906, the latter rain began to fall. And the former rain begins to fall in the time of the latter rain, though the latter rain that Brother Branham will be speaking of concerning in this spoken word's original seed does not go back to 1906. What you're looking at is the rain that's going to bring forth the harvest. And there's going to be a tremendous separation of the true bride from the rest of the people. So we're going to quickly read then. Billy Graham has struck the world. The Pentecostal struck the world. And the Word has struck the world. Now what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain, that's when she produces her fruit. In other words, it's a harvest rain. Oh, I hope you get it. Now, as I say, you could take that back to 1906, where the power ministry began, the restoration of gifts. And that's all it really was the restoration of gifts. But when you go to the book of Ephesians, and there you see the Spirit himself completely revealing God as to who he is and the relationship between the bride, the next thing you see, the dead coming forth and the rest being chained in a rapture. Now, to me, you're looking at the real climax and the definitive latter rain, the power rain, though that would be the climax of it. You see, because let's face it, during Brother Branham's ministry, when he was thoroughly vindicated, you cannot separate that great power of the Holy Ghost, which was in Brother Branham, God himself. It's like when they said to Brother Branham, he said, what did Jesus mean when he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? He said, same difference. Why, he said, it's not William Branham that has thus saith the Lord, that says these things ever so quickly and they all come to pass in this great power. No, he said, it is God. So you cannot deny that there's an intermingling in there, but there's actually a separation with the two words. The teaching rain coming at this season proves that this is the teaching rain, proving now that the seed sown must be watered and must come forth into a harvest. See, this is the time that the reaper catches up with the sower, so to speak. Now, then the kind of seed you planted in your field will be the kind of crop you will reap. If the denominations want more members, that's what they're going to get. That's what they've gotten. The Pentecostals want more Pentecostals, that's what they're going to get. Right. But the Word's going to produce sons and daughters of God. That's coming too. Watch. Look at that great latter rain supposed to be done. How they would run over the walls and leap over, and how they'd be an army coming. Just wait a minute. The kind of crop you'll get is the kind of seed you put in your field. Now, he's telling you right there, if you don't have the proper seed to be that bride, and that's in Joel, that goes over the wall and goes up in the rapture, you're not going to get there. Why? because there's got to be a seed to produce a harvest, and we are a harvest. Then what is the seed that's in us? There's going to be a harvest. Don't ever doubt that. There may be a lot of people stand here, and in the Great Tribulation, they'll end up being destroyed, hunted down as dogs, animals, and they got to appear at the white throne. They'll enter into eternal life, and there'll be those that die, and they'll go to the lake of fire. People standing right here are going to be consumed, like the atomic flash. Their eyeballs, everything consume away. There'll be ashes under our feet. Now, you've got to understand that. And what Brother Branham is bringing us here, he's telling us that the former rain, which is a teaching rain, a seed has been planted in the earth, and we are earth. See? Now, if this seed isn't there, you never come forth a child of God. See, just like in your own body, I explained the other day. Doctors tell you flat, the pathologist. Everybody has cancer cells. Everybody's TB cells. Everybody got measles cells. Everybody got everything's in you. You're a walking graveyard or pathologist laboratory. Everything's there. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that that seed is going to come forth unless you are particularly adapted to it. So now, we've got a people with a seed word of God, and they are particularly adapted. As Brother Branham said, you put a seed in the ground that's got the right fertilizer in it. All it needs is the sun and the rain. That's why he said, lie in the sun and come to a place of maturity. Okay, we begin to see this and what he's really talking about. Now, watch. Look at the great latter rain supposed to be done. So on. All right. The two denominational kinds, you understand? The two denominational kinds will unite together and go to Sodom. Now, he's typing right there, the two angels that went down to Sodom where God stayed behind with Abraham. Never forget that. That's a very important scripture. And that's where you're going to find that Brother Branham tells you about the sign that's the last sign of this hour. And it's Hebrews 13 and 8, epitomized or given to us as the truth of Hebrews 13:8, God standing outside the tent, Sarah in the tent, and she's laughing behind his back, and the God tells and says, why do you laugh? And then she said, I didn't laugh, and so on. And Brother Branham brought that right to Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse, the discernment. And he said, that's the last sign you're going to see. Now, if that's the last sign you're going to see, what good is the sign if you don't have the seed planted in here? I mean, sign is just a sign. You know, what good's the sign if it's to the buses? You get there's no buses. The sign that says, butter, 25 cents a pound, there's no butter. See what I mean? You're dealing strictly with the word. All right. Two denomination kinds will unite together to go to Sodom. But the word will stay with the elected. The royal seed. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, right there, you must recognize that every time you have a negative, you got to have a positive. And all the world says, just like Sodom, a bunch of homosexual riff-raff, blah, blah, blah. Now, just a minute. At the time of Sodom, there was a positive. Number one, two angels went down as messengers. On top of that, there was God out there with Abraham. So can you have Sodom just with a bunch of homosexuals and perverts without having the other? And my answer is ridiculous. Because always you have the two together. You cannot have the Son of Man ministry without the Son of Perdition. And you cannot have a Son of Man ministry, give by to an incarnation of God without an incarnation of the spirit of the devil. So as it was in the days of Noah, of Sodom, eating and drinking, but go back to the setting. See, how could you run a perfect example if you didn't hold true to what you're talking about. See, you got to keep your tapes the way they are, just like Brother Branham said about visions. It must be 100% forget it. Two angels went down, two anointed ministers, messengers, you see, went down to Sodom to try to bring out a man that was backslidden. Had a little speck of God about him, and his wife, his bride. You know what happened to her. She was disgraced. And look at his daughters. And look what it hatched out to be after they got out. There's always a hair in the biscuit. You know that's right. And what's he telling you? He's telling you same thing today. Same thing today. You're going to have them come out. So this, that. What are they going to go and do? You know that's right, the hair and the biscuit. Excuse me, that expression, you know, a gaggy thing. So that's it always was. We know that. Now you can't deny God's word. Now you see, he's taking and showing you the positive and the negative, and you can't stop the parallelism of Scripture, blessing, cursing. But there was one that stayed with Abraham that gave a sign. That's the woman in the tent behind his back, and he read her heart. Now here's where reading fresh. All right, one stayed back. That was Abraham and his, what was Abraham and his group called? The elected seed that never went down. They were pilgrims. They journeyed there. They journeyed here. They journeyed here. They journeyed there. Interdenominational. In other words, they were coming up between what everything was there. And they'd look at everything and pass on. What was good, they could take. What wasn't, they just pass on. See? But the denomination went down and made himself a city. And Lot became the priest or the bishop. He's the mayor sitting in the city gate. You know, whatever it was there, the big man sat in the city, did the judging. Who said, Brother Branham said, maybe he's a bishop or state president. And he said, no, we won't have that guy in our midst. No, sir, he disagrees with our theology. We can't have it. There's old Lot. But there he sat. If he didn't pack credentials from our group, we won't have him at all. Or if he doesn't pack credentials, we won't have him. Who made you a judge over the house of God, you hybrid? My Brother Branham is hitting back because of his own ministry. God's word will be preached anyhow. Now, he's narrowing it down to 8 souls and very few people, even with those few elect, will be standing there. Just a few Sodom, a few coming out into the, and staying outside of the whole thing with God. St. Martin went to a group like that, you know, that didn't want to have a thing to do with him. And that guy wouldn't, the king wouldn't even stand up and give him respect after he broke the gate. God even burned his robes off of him, back and made him rise up and salute that prophet of God that entered the city. That's right, his seat caught on fire where he was sitting, the throne he sat on. That's right. You have read church history. Yes, sir. He went down there and the true word, with the true word, performed miracle signs and proved that the word and the seat. He went down there with the true word, performed miracles and signs, and proved on the word that he was evidently authenticated. They had their own bishops and bishoprics, and they had what they wanted and just what they wanted. But God's going to see that there may be some elected children there, and he's going to get them out. That's right. So remember, what was it? Now let's stop here for a minute. Lot once had the choice to be an interdenominational himself. Is that right? He once had the choice to journey with Abraham, but the love of the world choked him out. That's what is done today. And remember, those down in Sodom never saw one of those supernatural miracles. They had a blinding. And the preaching of the word blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. That's what Billy Graham and those have done. Blinded the eyes of those unbelievers out there. That's right. Now, you can't deny that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, he tells you right there that the people are going to be blinded to the reality of vindication and the word that follows the vindication. They're going to be plumb blinded by some spellbinding preachers going down there. One with all the denominational force of a Billy Graham, and one with the healing ministry, Son of Perdition, Oral Roberts, Tommy Osborne, Hicks, and the whole bunch of them. And it's just, now let me read it again. He says here, that's right, you can't deny that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And here it is in the Bible. It will be the same thing at the coming of the Son of Man. See the parallel? You've got to always work in parallels. You cannot go positive without a negative. But neither can you go negative without the positive. That's the thing that Christians have the hardest job with. Because there is so much in our lives that appears to be negative. And it is only negative on the grounds that we treat it so. All right, now watch. But there was one which was the Word. He was the Word. And where did he stay? With the promised ones, the elected one. The Word stayed with the elected one. And the Word of God today will stay with the elected one. It's the royal seed of Abraham by the promise. Now what does he say afterward, Brother Branham? He said, the pillar of fire will lead you into the millennium. Our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. What kind of works did he do? Talking now about this one that stayed behind. When it was manifested about 1,800 years later in the form of Jesus Christ, it did the same works that that one did there, the Word did, at the gate of Abraham's tent. Sat with his back turned to the tent. Told Abraham, his name was Abraham, not Abram any longer, what it always had been, but his name was Abraham because God met him a few days before that and told him his name was Abraham and said, where is thy wife Sarah? S-A-R-A-H. Now it was S-A-R-A-H. Where is thy wife S-A-R-A-H? Like he didn't know. Abraham said, she's in the tent behind you. And he said, I'm going to visit you. I, the personal pronoun, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. Oh, and you're going to have that baby that you waited on. The latter rain is fixing to fall. In other words, to bring into manifestation what you're really looking for is the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ meeting a bride in the air. See, because remember, the sign of God outside the tent and Sarah in the tent and him talking to Abraham, and that's the last sign before the Son is presented in flesh, human flesh. Now, remember, you have the Son presented in human flesh by the Holy Spirit working in a prophet. But we're not talking about that now. We're talking about the literal physical second coming, as far as I understand this to be. The latter rain is fixing to fall. You've held that seed in there long enough now in believing, and you're looking for a coming Son, and he's coming. That's the real church today, see, the elected seed. You have been looking for him, and I'm going to send him to you. Who said that? The Word. Now, you can see right here what we said in the third chapter of Acts. When you see the vindicated ministry, the great healing ministry, Jesus Christ must come. He's only been preached. He's been appointed. But he cannot come down from the heavens where we meet him there. Until the restoration. Now remember, Elijah does the restoring. You got to just keep your scripture together because otherwise you'll have a problem. Now, you've been looking for him and I'm going to send him to you. What said that? The Word. Oh, you say that wasn't the Word. I beg your pardon. Abraham called him Elohim. That's the almighty self-existing one. He was the Word, Elohim. He, Brother Van, said, where did he come to? Or to whom did he come, really, he should have said. To Abraham's seed. Now remember, he had nothing to do with those denominations. He stayed right there with the elected and preached and showed the sign. Now you see what you're looking at also, what people cannot understand and they think we're preaching two gods and everything else. Do you realize what you're looking at here? The promised Son was not there. We're drawing a complete parallel. Who was there? God was there. Now, who is there now? God is here. Brother Branham categorically said who that was. Elohim. You're looking at a reality. Now, what about the promised coming Son? There's no return until Revelation chapter 19. Brother Branham said, you see the church disappear in the fourth chapter, come back in the 19th, and who's heading the church? And who is the head of the church? And who's the head of the one that's the head of the church? Christ is head of the church and God is head of Christ. Now we're looking at it, the incarnation. So who is here? Elohim is here. You got your 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians where church order is being set out before us. And Ephesians, the 4th chapter, showing the headship growing right up into Christ. And remember, headship is here. That which is perfect has come. Many people still think we're preaching that the Lord Jesus has come, and I've been accused of saying the resurrection is over. Well, you see, when you get mixed up on the word, you'll see anything very ridiculous. All right. Now remember, Elohim had nothing to do with those denominations. Now watch what he says. Elohim had nothing to do with those denominations. He stayed right with the elected and preached, that's right, and showed the sign. Now, Brother Branham is telling you right now that the ministry that he had, which is the ministry of the Son of Man, God doing the works in him and through him, that was nothing to do with denominations. They turned it down flat. Okay, who didn't want his little gift of healing? Then Sarah in herself watched that pollution, see? Now, actually, to disbelieve that, God would have killed her right there. Did you know that? And she came out and denied Abraham. She laughed up her sleeve, in other words, to herself. Now, she never even cracked a smile, but down in her heart, kind of laughed a little bit. Me, an old woman, 100 years old, 50 years since the menopause, time of life, lived with him all these years. Why, we haven't lived with husband and wife for 25 years, maybe 30, see. And he said, I'm going to have pleasure with my Lord, Abraham, her husband. That's the kind of wives you all ought to be, should be. Paul said the same thing, love your husbands that much. Not just hybridizing something out there, you see. Remember your thoughts. We'll get to that this afternoon in the womb thought. So now, but in that she loved Abraham so much she called him her Lord. My Lord being old too, and I old, and I have pleasure with him again. And the angel showed Abraham who he was, the messenger means, showed him who he was, that he was the Word. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? So he called her forth, and she said, I never. And he said, but you did. What? That's grace. See, right there, God would have slain her right there, but he couldn't. See our stupidity? He'd kill every one of us, but he can't. To kill Sarah, he had to take Abraham, because Sarah was a part of Abraham. They were one in union. And to take the church and destroy it, he can't do it. See, that's the book of Malachi, right there, fourth chapter. To take the church, he can't do it. And he can't destroy it. He cannot destroy it. He cannot do it because it's a part of himself. Christ, part of himself, the Word being made flesh. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, couldn't do it. You get it? He couldn't kill her. He couldn't take her because she's part of Abraham. See, she was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now, of course, what you're looking at here, just in very simple, plain English, is the third chapter of the book of Revelation. See, where she says, he said, so then, I know your works because you're neither cold or hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew them out. Because you say I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing and knows not you're wretched, miserable, blind, poor, naked, and so on. Now, but he says down here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to him and sup with him and he with me. Now, what is the knocking at the door? Well, in plain English, it's making the bride aware of who is present. Behold the bridegroom. So how do you know who is present? By the sign of the prophet. Discerning being one of the great ones. So the whole thing is laid out here like Brother Branham is saying it. Elohim is on the scene. Now, remember that what you're looking at is the example of Sodom again, the negative positive, where Paul says, you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flames of fire taking vengeance, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them believe, because our testimony among us believed in that day. You can see the restoration of the word. You can see the presence of God. You can see the negative. You can see the positive. You can see just where it is. And the whole scripture lines up. Otherwise, how could it line up if he only had a half of Sodom? Would you be happy to have a half of a car? Now, which half would you like? Me to take my chainsaw and cut it from front to back or in the middle? Well, you just might get a little better deal if I cut it in the middle. Instead of north-south, cut it east-west. But I still wouldn't bank on it. I still wouldn't bank. In fact, I would be very leery of it, because I think that's one of the ways to commit suicide. Yeah, with the engine roaring and you trying to control the front wheels and all, crack up in the embankment, well, more than one way to skin a cat, if you're a cat. Be one way to go, wouldn't it? See, the church, Brother Branham here brings out the truth. There's no way that when God comes on the scene, being who he is, he has to consider who you are. See? And Brother Branham said he can't kill a part of himself. He can't destroy it. Because there's a union there. Now, this is not a marriage union like Abraham and Sarah. This far supersedes it. Far supersedes it. Okay. Couldn't do it. You get it? He couldn't kill her. He couldn't take her life because she was a part of Abraham. She was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That's back in Ephesians, right? In our mistakes, don't say, well, I made a failure. No. Abraham made failures too, see? But he couldn't take the church. He can't kill the elected. He can't take your life because you're part of himself. You're the Word. The Word is in you. It's manifested itself, proven itself, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the words of God, you believe every one of them, working, God working through you. See, you're part of the Word which is Christ. Now we are taught that he is the Word, and we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. In other words, a manifestation. There you are. Of course, the church is the real bride of the real church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're coming down to something. Okay? We're coming down to something he wants to teach us right back now to the former rain. Moreh, M-O-U-R-E-H, R-R-E-H. The rain, former rain, claiming rain. Now notice, claiming rain. He always called it teaching rain. Now he's calling it a claiming rain. Why is it a claiming rain? Because it comes out to claim the elect. And that's the only way they're claimed. The rest of them go for signs and wonders. Now remember, at the end time, only the very elect are not deceived. Now who are the very elect? Well, that's the bride. Who would be the elected? Well, that could be the foolish virgin. It says elect and very elect. Of course, we usually put the elect just with the bride. But remember, there's a part out there that's got to come in later. But don't worry about it. Now he says the rain, the former rain, claiming rain, has gone forth. Now what has happened? The former rain was being planted. The latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and its Sodomites burned. Abraham received the promised son. So what you're looking at is right again Malachi 4. Jesus said, let them grow together. The tares will be bound, bundled, and burned. The wheat will go into the garner. See, the latter rain is just at hand. Now, what's he talking about? You've got to have rain to bring forth a harvest. Now, remember that rain, the latter rain, is going to bring forth the harvest of the elect and the denominationals and Pentecost. Now, remember the denominationals, Brother Branham talked about the foolish virgin in there. I don't know too much about it. He said it, I believe it. I can't figure it too much. But I do know the scripture. And he said, Pentecostals are chaff, and the chaff burns. See, your worst situation is going to lie in the Pentecostals. going to lay right within him. All right, now, the former rain was being planted. Now, the former rain means teaching, which is teaching the word. That's planted. The latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and Sodomites burned. But what happened? This is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 7 to 10. Same thing. You did a troubled rest with us. Out here in the valley, way back here in the desert with Abraham, just rest. When the Lord shall appear. Okay, Jesus said, let them grow together. Tares be bound, bundle burn. Wheat go to the garner. The latter rain is just at hand. We're going to get, I don't want to wait too long on that because I got something real good back here on that. The two denominations will unite. Pentecostals and these others will unite. But the word will stay with Abraham's promised seed as it did then. Now watch carefully because you're not just using an example. What you're doing here, you're seeing an Alpha and Omega situation. And God cannot change his ways of doing things. Now remember that this chapter in Genesis is what Brother Branham categorically calls Hebrews 13 and 8. Now, he doesn't go the Pentecostal way that they go. Brother Branham in Hebrews 13 and 8 goes, God and his ways never change, which is Ecclesiastes. Now, if I can find that right off the bat for you, but sometimes I'm lucky, sometimes I'm not. Song, Proverbs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That's before the Songs of Solomon. Okay, somewhere in here. Now, third chapter. I know that whatever God doeth, verse 14, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that meant that there should be men should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. So you see, you're getting a picture of what we're talking about here. See? Events made clear by Scripture. The two denominations will unite. Pentecostals and these others will unite, but the word will stay with Abraham's promised seed. As it did then, Jesus said as it was then. Have you got ears to hear, eyes to see, understand and understand with? Jesus said, as it was, is not it written? Would he say if he was standing here this morning? In other words, wouldn't he say the same thing like on the road to Emmaus? Like the time of John the Baptist? Would he not say, is it not written, that as the days of Sodom, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man? Don't you see the two harvests coming up, receiving their last shower? They've come along to that last shower. See? Then what happens? The angels and the Lord disappears. Then the rain took place. So you see Hebrews 6. The sowing is over. Now, in Hebrews 6, Brother Branham saw a man go forth in white sowing. Right after that, a sneaky fellow in black went forth sowing. And he saw the wheat come up, and he saw the tares come up. Now, please watch carefully. The tare looks identical to the wheat in a certain stage. Now, you're looking at vindication. That's why the Pentecostals scream they're vindicated, and they got thus saith the Lord and everything else, and they cannot take the Scripture. But it says here, let's go to perfection. And you cannot go to perfection until you come to this place when that which is perfect is come. For it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and had tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now that tells you right there that in this particular period, you must have a juncture which embraces the heavens and the earth in progression to going to the heavens. Time and eternity coming together. All these things coming right together. Entering in of the ushering in of the millennium. You're looking here, actually, at a complete display of the complete power of Almighty God. The greatest, perhaps, ever to be seen. And under the circumstances, I would say that wouldn't be too hard to believe. Now it says, having fallen away, they can never repent. See? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. What is the open shame? Not recognizing who he is. The ministry is completely repeated. And remember, Jesus did not say for 1 minute that I am doing the works. He said, the Father in me is doing the works and doing the talking. I am his image. Just like a statue that God is speaking through. A man completely possessed. Now we see the mighty manifestation of God, the mighty end-time prophet, and the prophet himself is nothing. As Brother Branham said, God is his own prophet. He just uses somebody. And he uses somebody because Israel asked him to. God was using himself. Right up till that time, he showed himself in a pillar of fire to the people. Earthquake and thundering. Heard his voice. Saw his visage in the sense of what he could present of himself to them, which was a pillar of fire. They knew God was there. They said, hey, forget it. Use a man. So God uses a man, and they crucified the Son of God. And they killed the prophets. Turn them down. You know, it's a messy situation. But you've got to believe the Bible. Now, he said here, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, not Son of Man now. Son of God. That is the Holy Ghost now. God in the form of the Holy Spirit, having the Son of Man ministry, doing what he did in the role of Son, they crucified to themselves. What happens? Now listen, the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes oft upon it. Now we're talking right now by actually human beings. Bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom is dressed receiving blessing of God, but that which bears thorns and briars is nigh to cursing whose end is to be burned. But Paul says to these people, now listen, he doesn't take this statement back and said, oh, this isn't going to happen to anybody. I'm just talking through my head. He said, this is the truth. But I know you people. And I know you know the word, as Hebrews know the word. And you're believing me. And you won't make the same mistake they made as your forefathers. I don't expect that you'll burn. Though, somebody is going to burn. But let me tell you flat, they're going to burn. And they become ashes. Some of this is not God's husbandry, and some is. Cain was not God's husbandry. Cain was not God's fruitful field. Eve was, and she messed up. See? We're persuaded better things of you. So on. So this is what Brother Branham is looking at here, and he's telling us, hey, it's right on you. If you can't see it, how many chances did Jesus give those disciples in his resurrection? Well, you don't have to believe, or if this isn't the real thing, you know, you're being educated now for the real thing to come along. Do you think the God that destroyed Jerusalem through Titus in 70 AD till the blood ran like water? And he fulfilled his word of prophecy concerning their destruction where they'd fill up the cup of iniquity and righteousness and pay for it. Do you think that he's just mouthing off and just saying something to try to scare people? Like you say, hey, there's a boogeyman in the closet. Remember you used to say that to kids years ago? Boogeyman under the bed scared the kid to... You think that God's got boogeymen? This is not a boogeyman Bible. It's not some little fairy tale, some fable. A fable is a story with a moral to it. This is not a book of morals. You're dealing with reality. It's too bad that we just can't reciprocate with God the way we should. Oh, he's so fair with us in laying it all on the table. But anyway, I'm glad it's his faith that's doing it. That's what Paul came down. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He didn't live by faith in the Son of God, not for one minute. He lived by the faith that Jesus had toward his Father, because he knew the end, the beginning, had been with him. And he could come right down here and know he could zero in and take us right over. Come on, this ark isn't going to fail, brother, sister, and Christ is our ark. All right. Now he said, all right. Now watch real close now. Now I believe I was on the subject here. Yeah, on the rain, the latter rain. All signs pointing to the end now. Everybody that believes God's word knows that. Let me stop on another one right here. I'm going to have to call names. I don't mean to be rude, but I've got to. I've told God I'd pull no punches. I'd come right here and just express exactly what I've known all my life. And then there's some things over here at the end I'm going to have to withhold. I know, but I'm going to express to you as far as he let me do. And later on, if he lets them, it'll be in the second and third sermon. All right, Mrs. Wood knows that after I got this and many more pages beside this, the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Did I call you Mrs. Wood? And he told me not to do that. So I went back and prayed that night, and he came to me in a vision and said, go to this. Take this and place it there, because they won't understand this. It isn't time for this yet. Place this here. And I did. That's right. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, he's talking to Mrs. Wood as the witness here, and that doesn't mean a thing to me, because I don't know if he ever said what this was, ever told me, or anybody else. I don't have a bit of recall. All right, obeying. He's telling you right here that he is giving you the truth here in obedience to Almighty God. He would have liked to have said something in a certain way, and God said, no, don't do it. Later on, if it's allowed of God, that seems to be he's going to be allowed of God. But at this particular point, he's not to do something, but he's to do what he's going to do now. So let's listen to what God directed him to say at this point, which would have been not right had he not said it. And if he said the other thing, that would have been even worse. So, all right. All right, obeying. Now, he obeyed a certain thing that I don't know about. And I didn't ask Mrs. Wood. Maybe she wouldn't remember anyway. All right, obey. Now, look, we're at the end time. Even the parable of the wise virgin and unwise virgin is with us. Now, look, the unwise virgin is going to be the hybrid. See, she had the seed without the oil, the moisture to make it grow. Now, notice he talked of Eve being a hybrid, too. And yet he said the unwise virgin, the foolish virgin, is identical to the wise virgin because, except for one thing, see, didn't have the oil. They didn't have that word in there that could receive the light and the oil, the rain, whatever you want to call it, to bring it forth in there. Now, see, she had the seed without the oil, the moisture to make it grow. Now, notice she had the seed without the oil, the moisture to make it grow. Now, what's she doing? The two groups, Pentecostal group, denominates the world, the evangelical groups are merging together. See, what for? Going to Sodom now to reap this harvest. Notice the unwise virgin. Have you noticed this one? Even one of my great friends, a real scholar, a man that's smart, intelligent, brilliant Pentecostal man, likely Jack Moore or somebody. And I noticed my brethren and the Christian businessmen shouting the praises of God because in there they got Episcopalian preachers, Catholic priests. I wonder if those men are sound asleep. You know the virgins were asleep? Do you realize? They say, oh, it's the greatest thing you ever heard, Brother Branham. Why, this Episcopalian people, temple come over here, and they say he got the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues, they've done these things, glory to God. I'm telling you, why, their church has been revolutionized. Oh, my brother, don't you know what that is? It's a sign. See? When the unwise virgin, the foolish virgin, wants oil, and while she's buying it, that's the time the bridegroom comes. Oh, you Pentecostals, what's the matter? Well, you can't see it unless God shows it to you. That's one thing sure. If you weren't born back yonder, predestinated to it, you're going to miss it. Blessed are their ears that can hear. Blessed are the hearts that can understand. For the time is at hand, every sign pointing to its seed. Now, you see, right there, they're saying, hey, we've got the true baptism. This is that. And we also got the latter rain, that power, that great power there, that's going to throw us right into the resurrection. And he said, hey, he said, you're wrong. Look what kind of revivals they're having. great revivals have had. Good looks good, doesn't it? You say, well, Brother Branham, now you got us on a limb. That's where I wanted you. How are you going to know what's right and wrong? Give it the word test. Now, this is what I've been preaching all along, and I find after 10 years and better, there are people sitting right here all these years, they didn't hear one word. Didn't hear a word. I'm sorry. That's the way to tell whether it's right or wrong. That's it. Just give it the word test. In other words, you check the Spirit by the word. You never, ever check the word by the Spirit because they're so close, and the Spirit of God is anointing these people, and He's anointing the very word that they want anointed that's going to fool you. Now, what if you come up with all this wonderful love you talk about and you're off the word? Oh, no. Just let that sink in. I'm not especially anxious to chew on that one tonight because it'd be like my teeth made of steel and biting on a flint, and you'd see the sparks fly. Because I can quote you names and places. Now, you might be hurt, so who worried about it? Give them the word test. That's the way to tell whether it's right or wrong. That's it. Just give it the word test. See what it says about the word. Any spirit, see what it says about the word. If it denies the word, is not of God. See, no matter what it is, if it denies the word, it is not of God. Look, give it the word test and see what happens. See, I've been preaching this all these years. Give it the word test. Jesus warned us of these things, Matthew 24 and verse 35. I just want to refer to that because on account of the tapes. Just a minute now. We haven't got just maybe 20 minutes or more till we dismiss, and I'm sure we're not going to get even one third through, but I got to read anyway Matthew 24, 35. And here's what it says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now he, that the two spirits so close together. Now it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. The Pentecostal denomination has got to act so real like the real until Jesus said that only the elected wouldn't be deceived. Now watch right there. He's telling you about the Pentecostal chap. And he's telling you they've invaded every denominational church. They got them all fooled. See? That kills me nearly. But my denominational brethren, can't you see why I've done what I've done? So close that it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. But the elected, that's elected to eternal life. No, see. Now you talk about striking this. We're going to strike it after I really hit it, see. See, remember, it's the elected. It's the only kind that will catch it. Well, you say, how do you know that you're not right? Or how do you know that you're right? Then test me by the word. Come test your denomination by this word. Let's see who's right. Prove all things the Bible says. It doesn't make any difference. He baptized this way. It doesn't make a difference. That's what Satan told Eve. Now remember, at this point, he's just going to go to the Bible. And he can be very casual about baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even a Baptist can figure that out. Anybody can figure it out by looking at the word. When did any apostle, any disciple, anybody ever baptize any other way? It's not just Jesus' name, no way, shape, and form. They baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ put it together, Lord Jesus Christ. We're not oneness, yet people right today are oneness. Most of the people in Brother Branagh's message are oneness people. And yet he said, don't be oneness, I'm not oneness. They just don't have a clue. But, you know, if you can't teach them, you can't teach them. It's not my job to take the place of the Holy Ghost. You see, he said here, somebody already been baptized in Acts 19, a good Christian man baptized him, John the Baptist. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's up there at Ephesus, see. He said, we don't know whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? Said, then how are you baptized? If you had caught it, you'd have known it. See, how are you baptized? They said, unto John, that great man that baptized Jesus. And Paul said, that will not work now. Because John never baptized, only unto repentance, not for remission of sins. And the sacrifice wasn't offered. And when they heard this, they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What did Moses said? And God said to Moses, take your shoes off, Moses, And he said, you know, I tie them a little too tight this morning, Lord, but I'll show even more respect. I'll take off my hat. That wouldn't have worked. He never said hat, he said shoes. And that's the devil that tries to whitewash that like he did with Mother Eve. It's every word the truth, just the way God's got it written here, and that's the way I believe it. Now you can go ahead and say, well, we got the truth. Well, you go ahead then. That's all right. If you're that blind, you go right ahead and stagger in darkness. This is the word that's going to judge your brother, not your creed. Oh, it looks good. Yes, sir, looks good. But you know, when you look at this, what Brother Branham was saying here, you know jolly well that some smart scholars is all it takes to just run back and forth on this. See, never forget that Brother Branham, way before here, hit the vindication, the last sign you're going to see. He pinned down his own ministry as to the correct interpretation or restoration of Paul's doctrine, and went even further. Because not only was the word restored in the sense of the truth, of the continuity, and bringing it to us, but he also revealed those things which had not been revealed. So we know positively where we stand. Now, and you say, well, Brother Branham, wait a minute. Bless God, I've seen them go up there and heal the sick. Oh, sure, so have I. I've heard them speak in tongues. Yes, sir, so have I. And I've never believed, and there's no one can prove it by God's word, that the initial evidence with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. I want the man to come do it. I've challenged that all along. I believe in speaking in tongues. Yes, sir, but I've seen devils speak in tongues, witches and wizards speak in tongues and interpret it, denying there was such a thing as Jesus Christ. I've seen men speak in tongues living with another man's wife. Stand, look me right in the face and vision before him. Call him out to one side and made a witness to it. And you call that the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. You say, well, Brother Branham, don't you believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues? Yes, sir, but give it the word test. See, Jannes and Jambres worked miracles. That's right, didn't they? Yes, sir, Jannes and Jambres. The Bible says so. When Moses went down to Egypt, everything that Moses did in the way of a sign, Jannes and Jambres, two witches could produce the same thing, two devils. Moses would say, please. They'd say, please. Moses said, stick on the ground. They say, stick on the ground, a serpent and a serpent. That's right, they could work miracles. The Bible said in the last days that devils would rise up working miracles and would deceive the people. Awful hard, brother, but you must know the truth. And, of course, they get carried away right here, the Baptists, and they say, ha-ha, I told you the devil could heal. Devil doesn't heal. Never has, never will. He can speak in tongues, sure. Yeah, but he can't heal. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Well, you say, well, God sort of let the devil do it. Well, why do you say, I'm the Lord that heals thee then? Well, I'm the Lord that heals by letting the devil do it. Where do you find that one? See, you can run yourself up the flagpole so far, you'll never see the ground. You'll just be up there swaying back and forth, thinking you're near heaven. First lightning bolt will scatter your ashes plumb across the universe. You know, you're not going to get away with this nonsense, see? That's right, they could work miracles. The Bible said in the last days, devil to rise up, working miracles, deceive the people. Awful hard, brother, but you must know the truth. Jesus said, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that and that and so forth in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. See, those that knew to do better and wouldn't do it. What is iniquity? Something you know that's wrong and you do it anyhow. You know that's God's word, that God's word is right. Why do you play the hypocrite? Because of your organization and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it. You worker of iniquity, said, depart from me. I never ever knew you. Now, you either wade through hell or hereafter and so on. Now remember, that's true. That's what Jesus said. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Remember, the Bible says, as they withstood Moses in the last day, they'd reappear, those spirits again. What? Just before the liberation of the people. Hallelujah. The liberation time is here. What's that? That's Jubilee. And at Jubilee, you can go to your master and say, I'm no longer a slave. I want to be free, and I'm free. But if you like what you're into, you say, hey, I like my organization. Put your ear to the door. You'll put the all mark through it. From then on, you'll never hear again as long as you live. You're finished. You'll never believe. You can't do it. See, you can't repent if you turn it down. And people think they're repenting unto salvation. Don't be ridiculous. That's what Brother Branham tried to show Joe Bose when he went to Africa. End time evangelism. And Joe sitting right there, dying a Trinitarian. Really fighting a prophet of God, and Brother Branham loving him just the same. You talk about, my clock doesn't have hands on it like that. It just, No, they go backward, and I find something like that. Liberation time's here. Jesus said in Matthew 24 over there that they would deceive the very elected if it were possible. Just the elected will catch it. Just one here, just one there. Very elected if possible. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So will these men of reprobate mind. See, reprobate mind concerning the truth. Concerning the truth. And the word is the truth. Is that right? Now, this is not skim milk, friends. Look, the Bible said Jesus said they would be so close, they would deceive the very elected if it were possible. But it isn't possible. The seed's going to fall there because of its predestinated to fall there. See, it's predestinated to do it. The seed has gone forth. The denominations have sown. The word's been sown, see? And Jannes and Jambres, those people, the Bible said those devils would rise up in the last days, would deceive the people by their miracles and signs that they could perform. How are you going to know the difference? The word. And they'd never guess this if Brother Branham didn't tell it. It's the same anointing. When those weeds were crying, and I didn't talk about that in Hebrews 6, but the time came when the weeds came up, and the wheat was there already, and there was a big drought. The wheat began to form over and crumble down. The weeds began to bend down, all the moisture going out. And they were crying to God for rain. The rain comes splashing down, and the wheat says, praise the Lord, and the tares said, praise the Lord. It's the same rain, the same power, that latter rain, because remember, the seeds are sown, coming to the harvest. That latter rain, they'll do everything that the bride will do, except they don't have thus saith the Lord, because they turned down the word. You see the picture? We've been in this many, many, many times over many years. But anyway, it's the same story. Even the Old Testament said, if they speak not according to law and prophets, there's no life in them. Now, Brother Branham, I'm very glad he said the prophets, because he's a prophet. He said, say what I say. If they deny one thing, see, don't do it. Then show me one person that was ever baptized using the title of name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why did they do it then? Creed, hybrid, dead children, bastard children, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And every plant that my heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up. Now, you say, well, just a minute, what is there here that God didn't plant? He never planted hybrids. Put the seed for both kinds. Man hybridized, he messed up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Both heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away, said Jesus. Now you see why I've stood the way I have. Now this little conclusion here is not a conclusion yet. He's telling you what he said back over here in about page, where were you at? Back here in about page 42. He's telling us why he has preached and done what he's done, believed what he believed, and what his ministry is about. And his ministry is all about the planting of the true word, which must come to pass. See? And remember, it went off in the Garden of Eden. You've got to get right back to where you can walk to the tree of life. And that little interim in there, that little gate, little slit, little path in there, where at that time Adam and Eve, especially Adam, was one in spirit and himself with the word. And the tree of life stood right there. And he didn't move to it. He moved opposite. Now we're going to be in the same position. Who will now move to the tree of life? No way. They go right back. And this time, there's no repentance. Why? Because the fire falls. Doesn't do you any good to repent. Hey, when they catch you with your hand in the cash register, like the raccoon, is it, that gets his hand in the bottle to pick up the silver coin and won't undo his fist? Hey, they got you dead. You is a thief. You can't fool with God. Not now, not anymore you can't fool with God. You know, people should be so happy to believe this message. You just love each other and, you know, it should be fabulous what we have, what we got from God. So, all right, we'll stop right here. And we'll try to pick it up on Sunday. And we're going to try to go as quickly as we can because, my, we can finish on Sunday very easily. I could have finished tonight except I don't want to overtake. Because we get to number two. And we see here then Brother Branham, the faithful prophet, the one in white, taking the place of Jesus Christ, standing for God here in this earth, going forth planting the true seed. Now, let's ask the next question. What earth is he planting it in? These vessels here. Vessels of clay under honor. Earthen vessels, though they may be honored, vessels of dishonor for tempting and trial, it was still the way God wanted it, knowing he would get you exactly where he wanted you. Not what we wanted, because we, though in him, had no consciousness of his plans. You know why? Because he's the head and he's forming a body. And the feet doesn't know what's in the head knows what's in the feet. You see it? Building a body. All right. I hope you believe more than you believed before you got in. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time of fellowship we have here, knowing, Lord, that it is a blessed time of fellowship around the Word. As Brother Branham talked about spiritual food in due season, talked about eating of the Word, and marveled that so many people were not eating with him and rejoicing, eating real fine and enjoying it. Here we are, Lord, little group of people here so happy to find your Word here and just go over it and see what the prophet said and see the application. And Lord, knowing that there's got to be those who do receive and those who do not receive, tonight, Father, we're so grateful and so happy to count ourselves a part of those who are receiving right down deep into the soul to come forth in transfiguration as the latter rain brings them up to that place of perfection where it says in the Scripture, they without us cannot be made perfect. And here we are now, Lord, being made perfect. They had to go to pick up their little spirit word bodies and then come back here. But we, Lord, are going to be so peculiar, so rich in this grace in Christ, that we're going to get changed and rise and meet our word body. What a fantastic, tremendous thing, the mystery shown to us. We shall it all see. We'll all be changed in a moment, between the night at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Yes, Lord, we believe that was Revelation 10 and 7. Trumpet sounding. We're going to be changed. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, let not there be one sick amongst us, Father. Help us to come to that place, as Brother Branham said, if we just go ahead and confess with our mouth the truth. And there will come a time when God will cause our bodies to become what our mouths testify, which is the truth, which is healing and these great things which are in you. So, Father, may we not miss anything. Where we don't believe we missed anything of the truth tonight, Lord, we know that we haven't got his fullness word by word like a prophet, but we believe, Lord, that it has been revealed to us and unwound to us. And these things, Lord, that we now hang on to will bring forth fruit in season, Lord. And that fruit, O God, we see so clearly in the Word that is going to actually bring forth that Son in flesh. And we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords as the Spirit in our midst becomes incarnate to us. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you and thank you for the privilege that you've given us to do so. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen and amen.